downstairs there, so we have to think about a ration. Okay, Hazinu is a Shira, and it's a timeline of history. And that's why it's prefaced by Zechor Yemos Olam Binu Shnas Dor V'Dor. Learn both in the past and the future. Yemos Olam typically seen as looking back to the past. Dor V'Dor is potentially looking towards the future. In fact, the Psukim are both interpreted by Chazal as a reference to past events as well as a foreshadowing of future events. And not because they're two separate timelines, but because Judaism believes that history is cyclical. So what happened in the past can happen again. So Zechor Yemos Olam Binu Shnas Dor V'Dor, it's almost a microcosm for how Judaism views history. So in the very beginning, Kadosh Baruch Hu describes events that sound very Bereishis-like. B'hanchel Elyon Goyim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu distributed land to people, B'hafrido B'nei Adam, but Hashem also separated them. So what does that sound like, separating humanity and dividing them? Dor Mabul, Dor Migdal Bavel, Yatsev Gevulos Amim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu solidified the boundaries of different nations, L'mispar B'nei Yisrael. In order to, it's hard to know why the boundaries correlate to the Mispar B'nei Yisrael. And then the next pasuk describes Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso, that we are Kadosh Baruch Hu's people, we are His chosen Nachla. So how do you understand the juxtaposition between these two psukim? So Rashi says something very intriguing. Rashi says that this indeed describes the Dor HaMabul and the Dor Enosh. And Kishehinchel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'machisa B'schelek Nachlasan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally gave out land, but people angered Him because of their moral misbehavior. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had intended perhaps to eliminate humanity and to maybe build another world. We know that Embracious is a shift, but the shift could have been much more dramatic and much more caustic. But what happened, Rashi says, Yatsev Gvulos Amim, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu solidified boundaries and allowed nations to live is L'mispar B'nei Yisrael, because latent within all these nations was one nation that would lead all nations, namely the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chosen. B'shvil Mispar B'nei Yisrael, Shasidim Latzeis B'nei Shem. Because there was latent in this international community a people that could understand Him and could discover Him and could lead their lives based on His will, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't toss humanity to the curb and start again. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all these sufferings in Parshas Noach and all these calamities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu solidified, and Rashi says, Ula mispar shivim nafesh al b'nei Yisrael sheyardu l'mitzrayim hitziv gevulos amim shivim lasham. In order to maintain this correlation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that 70 Jews would descend to Egypt. Because Hashem knew in Parshas Noach that 70 Jews would descend to Egypt, He therefore created 70 nations. Why 70? Why not 150? Why not 120? There's 70 antique nations of classic antiquity. Why 70? Because there are 70 Jews. They're going to go down to Mitzrayim. This is very relevant for Sukkot, the 70 Parim. Sukkot is an international designation. Namely, that we have a responsibility to redeem humanity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to discourage humanity because there was a people that could potentially, after 2,500 years, that could potentially understand them and apply His will and fast the Yom Kippur and practice tshuva and display tshuva to people. So these psukim, which may sound very parochial, they're not. They're very international, very universal. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu halted the destruction plan that humanity deserved is the reason He was Yatsev Givulos Amin, that He created strong, not just borders and boundaries between nations, but borders and boundaries that could prevent another Mabul, another flood, is because of this potential. Let's see if there's another Rashi I can read for you. There's a nice Rashi about the eagle. Kinesher Yair Kino, Al Gozalav Yirachev, Yifros Kinefav Yikacheu, Yisaeu Al Evroso. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us is compared to the relationship between an eagle and the little chicks. Now why? So in this pasuk, the end of the pasuk sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is carrying us on His back. Yisaeu Al Evroso. And this is reminiscent of Va'asa Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim, Pasuk in Yisro. That speaks about altitude. Altitude allows us to travel distances. Some of you may know that one of the famous relocation of Jews to Israel is called Kanfei Nisharim. So this has always been a symbol for not just protection, that the Nesher flies so high that it isn't susceptible to arrows and isn't susceptible to other birds, but also once you fly high, you're able to move distances. Sadly enough, in the Tochav Kitavo, our enemies land on us like a Nesher out of nowhere. And it was very hard for the Jews when they saw the Romans invading Yerushalayim, and it was really coming true because the sign of the Roman Empire was an eagle. So it wasn't just that. Remember, the first Galus was a local invasion. It was a local invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. We had a lot of interaction with Babel. There were many wars. There were many emissaries, diplomats, back and forth, cultural exchanges. It didn't feel like some foreign force was occupying. Well, all of a sudden, the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, and the Romans come from nowhere. So Nesher has dual connotations here. Of course, it's protection and distance. But this pasuk in Azino talks about the Nesher waking up the young chicks. Kinesher Yair Kino, waking them up. Al goza lav yirachev, hovering. That's the first part of the pasuk, not just the protection and the distance. So Rashi comments that evidently an eagle doesn't startle its young chicks. An eagle is very deliberate, very careful, and maybe a little bit surprised if the mother comes too quickly. So it's a slow process of gradually waking the children up, like we do in yeshiva, right? Gradually waking you up, giving you time to lounge around in bed a little bit, to pluck your eyelashes, to manicure your toes, right? You have a lot of time in yeshiva to wake up slowly. So, what is this referred to? So Rashi links it directly to Har Sinai. In Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very, very deliberate in waking the Jews up. That's an interesting Rashi, but it doesn't really reflect what happened in Har Sinai. Har Sinai, it sounds like they're really frightened. Now, you could reconcile the two, and essentially Hashem took care and great deliberation in waking them up, and still they were frightened because it was so imposing. It's not necessarily a stira, but it's the delicacy and the gradualness is not something you would immediately associate with Har Sinai. Har Sinai sounds like they wake up and they see the kolos and the vrakim and the anan kaved alahar v'kol shafar chazak v'yar kolom v'yanu v'yamdu mirachok. Rashi feels because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the Torah, he appeared from different directions, because there are different psukim. Some say he came from Har Paran. Some say he came from Teman. Hashem Elokami Teman Tavo. So Chazal interpret this to mean that Hashem was shopping the Torah around to other nations. He went to the Arabs, he went to Edom, and no one wanted to take it. That's why he's traveling from location to location. Rashi here takes those different geotags for Har Sinai as a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu slowly coming. Either way, it refers to Har Sinai according to Rashi, but it probably also refers to Gula in general. This is all these psukim have double and triple entendres. This is a shira. A shira is a poem. A poem has multiple layers of meaning, and it's programmed in. Zechari Mosalam, Binish Nos Dor Vador. It's going to happen again. So it's certainly something that we feel in our current Gula. Some people are troubled. Why is it taking so long? Why is it so gradual? Why doesn't Hashem just appear immediately with the Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach? Why do we have to fight all these wars? And again, just those of you who heard Rav Meidan yesterday speaking about the Yom Kippur War, just in case you didn't hear it, didn't understand it, it was a very, very penetrating idea. He talked about the fact in the beginning of the Yom Kippur War, and the country now is every year, in addition to living through Yom Kippur, the country also thinks a lot about that war, which is devastating and very traumatic. And the war caught Israel deeply, deeply by surprise. And there was evidently something I didn't really get, but it's certainly in sync with what happened during the war, where Moshe Dayan was about to have a press conference announcing defeat, and Golda Meir, the prime minister, called it off the last minute. But evidently, even without Moshe Dayan, all the generals had meetings and basically said, we don't have enough manpower, we don't have enough weapons, we've lost. I mean, when they say we've lost, they've lost the country. They said that basically this country will be taken. After 25 years, the country, this experiment in building our homeland, will end. And there were no arms. The UN did not send arms and did not send soldiers. And towards the end of the war, America started to weaponize Israel. But it was very much touch and go, very ticky-tack. And And basically they wanted to give up, and they launched counter-offensives, and they regrouped. And it's a lesson of tshuva on Yom Kippur. The war of Yom Kippur provided a lesson of tshuva. No matter how low you get, no matter how much it looks hopeless, you can always launch a counter-strike. And you can always, I thought it was a very interesting point, very provocative idea, that dafka, the war on Yom Kippur, the war of the Six-Day War, which is not on Yom Kippur, obviously, that was triumphant. That was victorious. We couldn't make a bad move. Every time we sneezed, another Arab battalion, surrendered. But Yom Kippur was very, very dicey. It was very difficult. So why are we going through all this process? In part, is because our people, after 2,000 years, are not yet ready for a sudden revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sudden revelations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as attractive as they sound, we may not be ready to process it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us an opportunity, hopefully we'll seize the opportunity, to wake up slowly and to move closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways, and may not happen all in our lifetimes, but each step is a step forward, and we're trying to wake up after so many years of slumbering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to just surprise us in our nest. So these are two psukim, just in the very beginning of Hazino, about Jewish history. One is that humanity was spared for us. It doesn't mean that we get to live luxuriously, because we are the prime cut of humanity, because we have responsibility to live a lifestyle that humanity will be influenced by. And the second Rashi is the Rashi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu waking up his children like an eagle, not just carrying them like eagles, but waking them up like eagles. And even in your own life, sometimes these are not just psukim at a national level, they're also psukim at a personal level. So they've got times guys are frustrated, they feel like they're only progressing slowly and gradually in inches. It's not yet. It takes a long time to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially when you didn't feel that you had a strong one before. You shouldn't feel frustrated or depressed if you're not able to hit all the cylinders. It takes time, and things happen later in your life. And especially after Yom Kippur, a lot of people walking away with this annoying feeling, oh my goodness, the person next to me was crying a bucket of tears, and I'm sitting there all stark. Or the guy next to me was hitting Al Chayt with a 2,000-ton velocity, and I was just touching my heart, and I didn't feel Al Chayt the same way. And it's in different ways. You'll see during Bein Hazmanim, you'll dream, you'll feel certain things, you'll go somewhere, these things will come out. So don't feel angry at yourself if you're not able to feel all those emotions that you were hoping to feel. You went through, you put yourself into the experience, and they'll come out at different stages. Okay, everyone, have a great, great Bein Hazmanim. Have a good day. Is there a teal today?
Yeah.
To where? No one else. I'm a really tech special.